me. Are you excellent. All right? I'm fine. But I have, you told me about this, you know.
Yeah.
I have, but we got a lot to talk about. We have so much to talk about today because I went on The View yesterday,
yeah.
Which will all be shown till Thursday because they lie about that live feeling they have.
And maybe you can do
but
a
I'm a little bit, I'm just, you know, just short of sick.
Yeah.
You know.
You have kids.
Yeah, that's it, isn't it?
It's it.
It's that I have
you
a little
brought vectors
little
into your children, into your home.
I have a vector now, and we had a play date.
Right.
We brought over another few
vector.
Little babies.
Some yeah. other vectors.
And when babies play, there's nothing safe about baby play. They have not got any of the memos. I mean, they move things from one of their mouths to the others. They suck each other's eyes. And any sort of virulent, horrible disease that one of them even's gotten near.
Yeah.
So for the first time, Moxie is 8.5 months old. For the first time, she was sick. She had, like, sniffles.
That was the first one?
First time, yeah. 8.5 months.
Play dates.
What's that?
You need more play dates. This once a year thing's not working out for you.
Yeah, I guess not. She didn't have, and ever since she got a little sick, which is horrible. You know, having your baby sick is the worst thing in the world. I've been talking about how great it is to have a baby. That's bad because she looks at you. You know, she looks at you, you know, with snot hanging down her face going, why aren't you helping me?
Yeah, and also they don't know.
Should
they're
going to
ever
me?
Recover. Yeah. Life is going to be like this forever. This is what it is.
Yeah, but she was still smiling. Yeah, she was still happy.
Well,
just like, you know, remember the gag you used to do? Maybe you didn't do this gag. It was a great gag. Back in the day when they had flash bulbs back in the end of the 19th century. And these little Instamatic flash bulbs would go, pfft, and then they would leave a white, blown-out flash thing. Remember that?
Yeah, sure.
This is like 40 years ago, maybe.
Okay.
You could take that light bulb and put it in your nose. And it looked exactly like a big ball of snot hanging out there. That was one
of the
great...
No, I didn't do this gag. I missed that.
It was a good gag.
I missed out on that one.
It was a very, very good gag. We were right up top. What else did we talk about yesterday? Oh, we were on The View, you know.
Yeah, how did it go?
I jumped in the pink mini and zipped across town to get to The View, which was at Caesars. It was which I can talk about Caesars with impunity because it's a Harris property.
All right.
So it's tied in with the Rio.
Jump right into it.
I pretty much own Caesars.
Yeah.
You know, because our show is at the Rio and the Rio is part of the Harris family.
Right.
And it's not a corporation. It's a family.
It's a family.
Very clear to us.
That's so nice.
And so it's Caesars. You are not part of the Caesars.
I'm not part of the Caesars family.
You will be. They're going to buy you
someday.
Your ass. Sure.
I hope.
But for right now, you're not. We're at Caesars, and it's out in like the parking lot. I mean, it's just not. I mean, it's like
the View
opening
is
area.
In a parking lot.
Not the parking lot.
They're taping in the parking lot.
No, there's a big kind of
Barbara
mall.
Walters is in the parking lot at Caesars, is what you're telling me.
And I'm
doing a TV show.
Yeah, and I was on with Marge Helderberger.
Simpson? Oh, Helderberger. I don't know.
Is that her name?
I don't know.
From CSI.
Okay.
She has a tough name, and she is one of the many people. I mean, if you're going to talk about, you know, insider show business, it seems like the piece of information you should have is how much uglier people are in person.
Sure.
But the people that I've met who are whose job is to be good looking, you know, job it is to be good looking, like I met what's her name, Margot Hemingway.
Yeah.
She's really, really beautiful on screen.
Sure.
1,000 times more beautiful in person.
Really?
Drop dead.
Wow.
And Paul Newman's eyes, like on film, Paul Newman in person, much more so. And Marge Helderbergerstein.
Should I look that up?
You might as well, because people are going to be writing in Gmail saying her name is, you know. But Marge, I mean, Marge, who plays, I was going to say her Catherine on CSI. She is... I'd have a drink of tea because I've got this baby horrible viral.
That's it, yeah.
Baby flu. Huggleburger?
I don't know.
Oh.
Got it yet.
Marge is so much prettier than she is on TV. And I have to do a confession here. I like Marge.
Helgenberger.
That's what I said. She has, I'm not, I don't like her that much on TV.
Right.
Because she has this quality that Helen Hunt also has, which is, it's a kind of person that looks to me, and it's mostly women, looks to me like they smell something bad all the time. It's just a slight kind of, ugh. And, of course, when you're working CSI, you probably do smell something bad. And that's the other thing about CSI that I love, and I wanted to talk to her about this, but then you don't want to talk to her because it's like she's going to go out and be interviewed, so why interview her more?
Sure.
And she's asked me questions about my baby that they're going to ask me, so there you go. But I wanted to ask her this because the thing that's funniest about CSI, and I mean, you watch CSI and you laugh. Not as funny as CSI Miami. which has, what's his name? It's who's so hysterical. But CSI Vegas is pretty funny, too. Because if you know anything, when I say anything, I don't mean, like, advanced stuff. Because, you know, I'm just a high school guy. I didn't go to college at all. If you had, like, 1 year of biology, it is so funny to watch them with their hair hanging down in the petri dish, you know, doing DNA testing. Because all you want to do is go, oh, I did this crime too. Oh, my DNA's on this. Oh, my DNA's
That's
on
right,
I've done every crime in Vegas. Put on a hairnet. I'm guilty of everything. Just put on a damn hairnet. But, you know, because
it doesn't look good.
Hair is such an important part of sex.
Sure.
That, or lack of same, that you have to not have hairnets. I read that on ER they had to do that, you know, not wearing masks.
Right, sure.
Because you're paying George Clooney, you know, how much to be handsome. And you're going to put a mask on him. If they would allow people in CSI to, in the TV show CSI and the medical TV shows to wear the actual equipment, the real doctors, you and I could
we
be the hard
job.
We could be the sexiest men on television.
Because,
you know, we both have nice eyes.
That's right.
Just cover up our whole faces. And also on The View, they had this microphone. See, their idea was because it was outside and windy, they were going to give us these, like, Broadway mics.
Okay.
And they, it's,
it like goes, Madonna kind of thing?
Yeah, okay. But it goes backwards like glasses. It goes around your ears like John Lennon glasses, but backwards.
Right.
And then it comes around and goes right alongside your face. Now, with people like Marge Hegelberger singing a song, she, it sat, the mic sat really nice on her face.
Looked good on her.
Well, she had these real cheekbones, and, you know, it kind of sat there in the little indention.
A little hollow. There was a hollow there for her mic.
It's a hollow for a mic. Oh, and it looked so good. And Carrot Top was on, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
And Carrot Top has these enormous.
He has those hollow cheeks. Yeah, sure.
Yeah, I don't know. I want to talk to him. I want to talk to Carrot Top because he looks like he's so buff. He looks like he's juicing or something. But he says he's not. And I'm not saying that he is juicing, but, and I know nothing about steroids.
Let's do a surprise test.
I know nothing about steroids. But we're going to have Carrot Top on the show eventually. We'll do a pee test on him. Let's just see if he's doing steroids. We could do that, couldn't we? He says he listens to the show once in a while. He might be listening today. We can find a way to test for juice, right? Okay, he's got a test. Jack's nodding, and he's saying we can do a test. That would be really surprising to have him over and then just say, hey, Carrot Top, before we go on, just for fun, is it a pee test or a blood test?
I think it's a blood test.
Okay, we could do that. I'll do it. Yeah, the two, Patrick and Jack are saying they won't do it.
They won't do the pee test on Carrot Top.
They won't be part of
chickens.
I will share bodily fluids with Carrot Top anytime. I have no problem with touching his blood. I'll wear a hairnet and a mask. But I think, his microphone, because he has these cheekbones too.
His look good.
Kinda,
sure.
And Teller's lost some weight. You know,
right?
Teller's looking good.
Out.
So his mic kind of sits there in a little hollow. And then that woman from Survivor, Elizabeth, who's very attractive.
The mic
sits in her little hollow. And even Joy Behar barely has a hollow, but the mic is sitting there. And Star Jones, the mic is sitting there. And Barbara Walsh. But my microphone really looks like someone scotch taped a potato to a mattress. And I commented on it on the show Thursday, because they pretend it's live, but it's not. On Thursday, you'll see, I comment on it, because I'm going out and I'm saying to the guy, and he goes, oh, this just doesn't fit your head. And so I'm not self-conscious about being a big guy, you know. I'm a fat guy. I'm a fat guy, but this is not part of, fat comes in on the cheek.
Yeah,
but
sure.
The back of the head, that's my skull. I have no control over how fat the back of my head is. And the two earpieces won't go around, right?
Okay.
So it's kind of sitting, they kind of tied into my ponytail, and then they kind of strap the mic to my face.
Like
and
a,
I go
like
out
a
there,
bit for a horse.
It's like it's a, and it's, you know, and they do too much to my hair. You know, they always put a lot of in your hair. So I get all this garbage in my hair, and I got a potato, you know, glued to my, and it feels, it looks like some sort of acne, you know? So it's like you're going to reach over and pop someone's microphone. Not that I'm the kind of person that if I see acne, I reach over and pop it. That would be impolite.
That would be impolite.
And a little bit disgusting. But not a lot disgusting. Also some fun. So I go there. And now The View, I have this view that The View hates me. You know, that they just loathe me.
Yes.
And
I suspect that's true.
No, it's not. It's really not true.
Okay, well, they call me every night and complain about you.
It may have been true at one time.
Uh-huh.
I don't think it's true anymore. And Glenn, you know, long-suffering Glenn, who's our PR guy,
yeah,
who does everything for the show, and is one of the greatest guys I've ever met. He told me yesterday he'd been working for us for 11 years.
Right.
The best, I think the best 11 years of his life he's given to us. And I just adore Glenn. I love him. Even though he has hair a little bit like a Ken doll, he's very concerned.
He's Eurotrash. He's very Eurotrash.
Very
looking.
Eurotrash and also very terrorist looking.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
If you go,
cross.
We sometimes
model
fly.
Terrorist.
We sometimes fly places with him and we won't let him on the same plane.
That's a good idea.
Just, he just really looks like he is such a terrorist. But Glenn is wonderful. And
he says The View does not hate you.
Well, The View really likes us. The producers of The View like us. The producers were the only ones who did a whole Aristocrats Day.
Right.
They had on like Saget and Gilbert and Mario Cantone. And it was fabulous. They pushed the Aristocrats harder to the audience that didn't want to see it than anyone pushed to the audience that did want to see it. They were fabulous. And the producers are wonderful and they love us and have us on all the time. But I've always felt that the women, that gaggle of...
Bonnie Hunt wants you, Dad. So
Bonnie Hunt wants me, but she's not a regular.
She's not a regular. Okay, I thought
this
she was
is
a regular
what,
host.
This is what Glenn pointed out to me, is that another guest on The View wants me dead.
Okay. Sure, that's
but The View itself, Barbara Walters was wonderful to us, Joey Behar, the piece from Survivor, what's her name, Elizabeth something?
Hasselbeck.
Hasselbeck. And Star Jones, I made them all, I think I did.
I left
one out, Marilyn or something. Yeah.
Assuming that I watch The View at some point. You're looking over here like I'm going to know this, and I don't.
I look over at you because you know everything. Okay.
I get the answers.
What they did, Michael Godot, is they gave a show to a nut whack job who doesn't know anything. That's me.
Right.
And then they picked a sidekick who knows everything. And when I say they picked a sidekick,
I mean you.
Me. Yeah.
Yes.
And yet you have one hand, you're fiddling with the pen, your other hand is in your lap, and you could be just surfing the web and finding the answer to all my
questions. I'm ready for most of your questions.
You could have The View.
I could have The View's website up, you're right, but then I wouldn't be able to check the emails that are coming in.
But since Moxie was born, and I've used my daughter, I've prostituted my daughter out twice.
Yes.
First time was Halloween. Last year on The View, I dressed her as a lobster, and I brought her on The View, and all of a sudden, all the people on The View who seem to be kind of like, here comes Penn.
He's a little ambivalent towards you.
He's a mean, guy. Right. I'm a little bit cold,
right.
And I'm a little bit distant, and I'm very judgmental. There's a word you can use to describe all those characteristics.
Sure.
It's a compound word that they won't allow us to say on the radio. That's what I am.
Yeah.
But once my
wife...
If you
show up with a lobster baby, you're in.
Yeah. And Moxie is very cute.
Of course.
And my wife is very beautiful. And they sit there in the front row. And automatically you see this. There's guilt by association.
Right.
This is an innocence by association. They look at this Madonna and child tableau.
Boosted your credibility by showing
up. And they say, if these two beautiful creatures can love this monster, Elizabeth...
Yeah, she's licking them.
Yeah, Elizabeth was holding Moxie and crying.
Right.
She was crying because she missed her baby so much. And then we could talk about that.
Right.
I mean, there's an issue. Oh, I miss Moxie.
Sure.
That's stuff I never was able to share with people before.
Right.
Because they'd talk about their dogs and stuff, and I'd go, you idiot. We disagree on everything. But now, missing your baby, I agree with... What else is going on? Oh, this is, did I say it was Free FM?
Your wife said that Joyce got mad at you for saying that,
No, she didn't get mad at me. She didn't get mad at me. She got mad at Emily. My wife went up to Joy and said that she said, when's the due date? Because there was another baby coming. She said, when's the due date for Zoltan? Because she knew the name. And she said, 666, June 6th. And Joy Behar goes into this whole thing about how you shouldn't use that bad day. Now, Joy Behar...
What are you going to do when the kid's born? My son's birthday is 9/9/99.
Yeah, but that's upside down.
So what do you do when a baby comes out? You hold him upside down, right?
Exactly.
So it's proof positive that my son is Satan.
Yeah, sure. But also, I thought Joy Behar was Jewish. I mean, she certainly cashes in on that a lot.
She does play the Jew card.
She does play that card. So you'd think that the 666 would not mean jack to her.
Well.
But it seems to. We're at Free FM, 866-313-FREE. 866-313-3733, 866-313-free, 3733. I guess the only thing you can call in on right now, the only topics on the cable are the view and babies being vectors.
Right.
People could call in and tell us how
maybe
sick
a doctor
they got because of it. Or, yeah, there's an epidemiologist. You know, we are big. Well, that's one of the billboards you're going to do, you know.
Right.
Penn Jillette and Mike Goudeau in the afternoon, bigger with epidemiologists than any other radio show. We're the ones they listen to. You're following the Olympics, right?
I am.
You know, Bode Miller.
Yeah,
just
Bode.
Got Bode Miller.
See, you're following the Olympics too, aren't you?
Yeah, not at all.
Okay.
Bode Miller.
Yeah.
Bode Miller just received a letter from Ed McMahon.
Yeah.
Apparently, he may have already lost the publisher's clearinghouse sweepstakes.
You know what the problem with the Olympics is? We are used to calling in and voting now on American Idol or Dancing with the Stars. You know, the judges are only half. And so, you know, when our skaters do pretty well, we should be able to call in and push them over the top.
Yeah, and especially now it's fair.
Well, for Bode Miller.
Because they have cell phones in Chad.
Exactly.
So let the other countries do
that.
They
could just charge us 50 cents and we'll call in and vote for Bode Miller. I think he skied the fastest.
Well, I have a problem with the Olympics. The same thing I have with sports. You know, the teams not being really from the cities. Mm-hmm. I think if they really want to have Olympics that really compare this is your little thing.
Okay, thanks.
He lost part of his
computer. I've been looking for it for
days. I just found it. Yeah, here
you.
He is. if they really wanted to make this fair and really judge how the whole country worked,
sure.
I think they would have it by lottery. So for the downhill skiing, you would just go to every country, and all available men and women between the age of 18 and 50 would be in the lottery thing. And you'd pick, and then you'd have like 4 years to train. So it'd be like Bob Jenkins.
Well, so you still have 4 years to train, though.
Yeah.
See, I like the idea of just showing up. They send out an invitation. 10 of you have been chosen. You're the Olympic ski jump team.
Oh, that'd be great.
You and I just have to show up and do the ski jump cold like that.
Oh, man, that would be so great. It's like the other. What I thought about would be great, though, is, you know, like the high dive competition. You know, you get a guy like me, you know, from Las Vegas, Penn Jillette in the high dive. He's going to attempt a cannonball. You know, it'd be like,
sure.
It'd be great. But the idea that it's just, you know, and pretty soon, you know, because of the way sports are, they'll be like, the United States will be buying athletes from other countries.
Well, also, the drug thing is pretty interesting because, you know, very soon we will all be taking performance enhancement drugs.
I'm so in favor of the drugs.
And so the only people not taking them will be sports figures. So you go, well, he hits pretty well for somebody not taking drugs. I mean, I can hit farther, but, you know, he's pretty good for somebody who's not been taking the performance-enhancing drugs.
Yeah, I don't see why they don't let you do anything.
I don't know.
I mean, I think you should be able to hurt yourself. In
food is a performance-enhancing drug.
Sure.
Let's talk.
Sure, I think...
water.
Did you just say let's talk like you were Joan Rivers
or
something?
Yeah, come on.
Makes me sick. Okay, we're here at... good morning, Lance.
Good morning, Taylor.
We're here at Free FM, 866-313-FREE, 373 Penn Radio, that's P-E-N-N. Someone just wrote in and asked if it was Penn with one N or two N's, because that's hard information to find. Two N's, PennRadio at gmail.com, and we'll be back right after this. There's a lot to talk about. We're going to talk about the Muslim limericks and that Narek, the Libertarian candidate, came to the show last night. Got a lot coming up. Bigfoot. Got a lot coming up. Billboard Bigfoot and psychic dogs. Hi, this is Penn Jillette with Michael Goudeau. I don't know what that was.
You were scatting again.
A little bit.
You've done once before, didn't you?
We got the phones here, 866-313-FREE, 866-313-FREE, that's 3733. All sorts of stuff in the news. British historian David Irving was sentenced to 3 years in an Austrian prison for denying the Holocaust, a crime in many European countries, as you know.
Yep.
Such laws are necessary to prevent the resurgence of Nazism, a fascist regime which routinely silenced critics by sticking them in prison. How come people can't get the free speech thing? How hard is that? How hard is it to understand the free speech thing? I mean, how about the marketplace of ideas? How about the idea that you say whatever the hell you want, and then other people say, shut up? I mean, it's as easy as that. This show is the perfect example of that.
That's right. We get emails that say shut up every day.
Every day.
And we're still going.
And we're still going, and they can still say shut up.
They do every day.
You know, and this is what I'm always fighting for.
Uh-huh.
I believe in really very close to 100% free speech.
Yes.
Even for people who don't speak well, like me. Free speech.
Prevent free speech.
You know, I yell fire in a crowded theater every night.
Yes,
and of course and that's actually the law. Yelling fire without a fire.
Right,
and there's no fire really. I yell it.
There's fire. You're juggling fire.
I'm juggling fire, but it's a different guy.
Okay.
You
get off on a technicality. If they arrested you.
I would get off on a technicality. That would be the name for my autobiography. Pendulette getting off on a technicality. My high school career was getting off on technicalities. I'm always there. So I went on that too. And you know, we also burn a flag in the show.
Yeah.
And have people who are very patriotic and veterans and everything come up and thank us for it.
Sure.
Getting off on a technicality.
Because
it's a patriotic bit.
It's a patriotic bit.
And that's what I did. We were playing DC. We were playing Washington DC, and I called up
not DC Comics.
No, playing DC. Washington DC.
Okay.
And I called up, I just blanked his name, G. Gordon Liddy, who I kind of sort of know.
Yeah.
I've been on his show like several times.
He was on our show.
And I come so close to agreeing with G. Gordon Liddy. It's scary, you know, because I'm a libertarian,
right,
which is as left as you can go on sex and as right as you can go on money.
Right.
So all the money stuff I agree with him on, all the sex stuff we disagree. And I'm using sex very broadly and money. Very broadly, of course, in this. But I called G. Gordon Liddy,
right,
and I said to him that we were going to be coming with the Penn & Teller show to, I think it's the National Theater we play in D.C., and I said we were going to be doing a flag burning, and I said, we are going to burn a flag on stage, and you are going to cheer. I think it's wonderful and patriotic. He was very skeptical, but
he
agreed. He agreed that that I was right, and it was a very patriotic bit. So we do a lot of burning in our show. A lot of burning. Burning, lot of shooting. But I believe that if you want to deny the Holocaust, go ahead. There's so much evidence.
There would seem to be a lot of data supporting the other side.
A lot of evidence. And I think when you suppress it like that, it makes it look like your society is scared of that information. Whereas the best way to fight bad speech is with more speech. Which brings to mind Ava Maria. There's this thing that's in the paper that my my wife found. The whack job.
Tom Monahan.
I guess this is it's very important on radio shows to have departments.
Yes.
Like things you come back to.
Okay.
Letterman has his top 10 list, not his own radio top 10 list. You know, Leno has his things in the news.
Sure.
I think we should have a little thing called Those Nutty Christians. Woohoo! Those Nutty Christians.
Okay. All right.
And the guy who owns Domino
Pizza. This doesn't fall into nutty, though, does it?
It falls into nutty, but I agree with it.
Okay, well, there.
Which is almost one of the definitions of nutty. But the guy from Domino's Pizza.
Yeah, Tom Monahan.
Who's richer than God, if there were a God. What's his name?
Tom Monahan.
Monahan, not Moynihan, Monahan?
Well, it says Monahan here. Okay. It didn't say Moy.
Okay, Monahan. How much money is it? What's he worth? How much money?
$400 million project is what this... No, I don't know. Doesn't say.
Yeah. He's probably got, you know, hundreds and hundreds of dollars.
Hundreds of dollars, probably.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he's bought a 5,000-acre tomato field in southwestern Florida to build a Christian community.
And the newspapers are kind of saying this is the awful Domino's Pizza guy because he wants to make pharmacies. The pharmacy within the community will not have birth control.
Naples
pills.
Community Hospital will not prescribe birth control to students.
Mm-hmm.
The pharmacies won't sell condoms.
See, this is when I start thinking that they won't sell condoms?
They're supposed to not sell condoms. Yeah, they're trying to get bids from pharmacies that will not sell condoms.
How cool. Let's make a bid. We won't sell condoms or anything else. Just pay us X amount of money. We'll set up Goodell and Gillette's pharmacy, and we'll sell nothing.
We'll sell crosses.
Yeah, yeah. We'll make them ourselves. Or we'll get them done in the Philippines or something. Crosses are probably not made. That would be a great scandal for the church, wouldn't it, if crosses were found to all be made overseas. Buy American crosses or buy American Christianity. And, I think that it's terrific to have a community where they don't sell condoms and don't sell birth control pills and where you live. See, this is
you
why...
You can choose to go there.
This is why I may... You know, the ACLU is on their asses, right?
Yeah.
ACLU says, no, you've got to do that. I think the government should stay out. If you want to have a whack job community, I mean, You should be able to have an Amish general store.
I think they do, don't they?
It doesn't sell radio remotes.
I suppose
so.
They
you
do.
Should be able to have a Catholic organization that doesn't sell condoms.
Sure. Well, there's also, there's the Free State Project. You've heard of this
one. Oh, I love the Free State Project. Now, the Free State Project.
Same idea.
We're always for nuts. But these are our kind of nuts.
These are our pal nuts.
This is turning New Hampshire into, Prevenz and I started working on a pilot called Live Free or Die. And the idea was behind this free state of New Hampshire.
Sure. It's an effort.
Or as Prevenza calls it, new and improved Hampshire. New Hampshire's doing the hippest thing in the world. New Hampshire is trying to get, how many people?
20,000 liberty-loving people to move to New Hampshire.
Right.
So they're going to start their own state.
But as I understood it, when we had a 10th Amendment, which is to leave everything in states' rights and make very few things federal, the way I understood it, when we had that right in place, before that was one of our first rights to erode during FDR. Everything becomes federal.
Sure.
But that idea was people would be able to vote with their feet, right?
Right.
If your state was not run the way you wanted it to, you could move to another state.
Sure.
And the only idea, the federal stuff was supposed to be very small amounts, like just a little bit of defense, and it wasn't supposed to be this many federal laws,
right.
And the taxation wasn't supposed to be national and so on. So you could have Florida be an entirely Catholic state,
right?
And you could have, well, that violates church and state, but you could have a section, a private section,
sure,
all Catholic, and you could have a section of New Hampshire, that would be all libertarian.
Right.
And then people could try that out. People could read the news and go, New Hampshire seems to be a little hipper. Let's go up there. And, Florida seems to be really, really boring and judgmental. Let's stay away from there. So pretty soon, but the only disadvantage I have about that, the only disagreement I have really, is I would really like the Catholics to be in New Hampshire and the libertarians to be in Florida. Because Florida is warm.
Florida's
warm. Florida
is
warm
true.
And has big funny bugs. And those are two things you want out of your life. I'm from right on the border of New Hampshire.
Right.
It's me, it's Sarah Silverman, and Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
So I'm the least successful of the people from that area. And
those are not the only three people from that area. I don't know if you knew that.
Who else is there?
Well, there are a lot of people that live there.
Ethan Allen.
Very successful with his furniture.
Doesn't live there. Doesn't live there. I want to thank everybody for sending in limericks. I started yesterday a few Muslim limericks. There was a young man named Muhammad.
Yeah.
Thinking that would be the cartoon thing. And people sent in really, really funny, really, really blasphemous ones that I will not read because I have a wife and a daughter.
That's right.
And I don't mind really getting death threats from magicians. It doesn't scare me at all. I don't mind getting really angry letters from chiropractors. I don't even mind the Catholic League. What's his name? The whack job Donahue?
I don't know.
Donahue is a whack job there. Boy, is he a nut. And he's just, the Catholic League is him, his wife, and like four friends of theirs.
Yeah.
But they write letters like crazy. And they write us really mean letters. They write horrible letters to Trey Parker.
Mm-hmm.
I should dig out some of those letters and read them because they're just full of, they're dripping with just, pure, raw, unadulterated hate. And he claims to speak for Catholics, but I don't believe him.
Right.
At all. I know Catholics, and Catholics are not whack jobs, except for the guy from the pizza place, who I'm actually on his side. I would love it if they ghettoized, religion, so it was actually in little chunks,
you could
avoid it. And then the rest of the country could be free.
They'll let your car break down there, or they'll try to convert you.
Oh, yeah, very careful. It's like one of those places like a Bonfire of the Vanities.
Yeah, exactly.
You hit a body, keep moving.
No, they're going to forgive us. Keep going. Sorry we hit him. No, really.
No, don't be
we
sorry.
We meant to hit him.
That's okay. Oh, let him forgive us. We're done.
Well, in the related thing about you're talking about the church since and free state organizations, you were talking about the letting the strippers.
Oh, well, I'm all for that. And there is a group called, there's a big article in the Vegas paper about the JC Girls. JC's girls.
Yes.
And JC is not my dear dead friend Jerry Camaro, who's the only JC I ever think about, but rather Jesus the Christ. Yeah, that's
girls.
That passionate wacko.
Right.
He's got girls. And then, since Elvis Presley had an album called Girls.
Right.
I think the Bible is now going to be called 50,000 Jesus Fans Can't Be Wrong. yes, they can. But I want to talk about JC's Girls, 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 please, which is Strippers for Christ, right after this break. We'll come right back. 866-313-FREE, F-R-E-E, that's 3733. This is Ben Gillette here, 866-313-FREE, penradio@gmail.com, sitting with Michael Goudeau. Two anesthesiologists have refused to participate in the execution of a California inmate. Did you hear this?
Yeah, I did.
They were citing ethical concerns with the procedure. The inmate has also refused, you know this?
Yes.
The inmate has also refused to participate, citing ethical concerns with using the word procedure to describe what is going to happen to his ass. They're going to kill him.
That's right.
And this is even
procedure.
The people, procedure. The procedure is make
lie
him
down. The procedure
dead.
Will be over in a few moments.
We have one of the Bulls hit episodes this year on
death penalty.
We finished shooting it is on the death penalty which we come down against, you know, and it's amazing the number of people who argue all these arguments about it being more efficient, it stops them from killing again, it's a deterrent, and they don't usually deal with the first question, which is it okay for the state to kill somebody when there is no immediate threat.
Yeah, well.
And you have to make that okay before you go on. And they make this big thing about, you know, whatever it is, 68%
right.
of the people in the country agree. Is that the number?
Yeah.
Somewhere around there, 60
yeah.
something. And that leaves
65-35.
So that leaves 35% of the people in this country who are killing against their will. And that's one of the places where...
Well, what's, like you point out in the show, what is the government good at, really?
Yeah.
You know,
it's... The same government that you do not trust to keep a bad person locked up, you now trust to choose who's going to die. Yeah, the government is really bad at everything. This one made me laugh a lot.
They're good at spending money.
Yeah. Not theirs. Psychics. Did you hear about this?
Oh, I did.
The two of my favorite subjects, psychics and dogs. Psychics have joined in the search for a 3-year-old whippet, which ran away from handlers at JFK Airport last week. The dog's owners are allowing the psychics to accompany them as they search, I guess, in hopes that the dog you'll hear the dog's laughing.
They must be serving lunch or something. That's the way to get the psychics to accompany you. Yeah, we'll be stopping for lunch halfway through the search today. Okay, we're in.
You know, at the show last night.
A lot of jugglers to go, too.
At the show last night.
Yes.
Anything happened at your show? Excited?
No, I didn't work last night.
Didn't work last night?
No, I went skiing yesterday afternoon with my children.
Did you really?
I did.
Was that good?
It was great.
How old are your kids?
4 and 6.
10. That's
yes.
But can they both ski?
They can both ski now, yes.
Wow, I can't ski at all.
Well, there you go.
Well, my feet go
out
of the
side. I'll be taking your child skiing as you're teaching my child music. So.
Yeah, that's probably true. That's probably the deal. You go. Do that. That seems right. That seems
right.
Because I don't want to ski. My feet go out to the side like a duck. You know, I walk very badly.
Right. Well, your feet hurt a lot, so.
Yeah, my dad was always very, very troubled by that. He said, you know, I think I may have said this before. We were at the Emmys or something.
Yes.
A big timpani roll. And my dad says, timpani roll, big introduction. They announce your name. You're in a tuxedo and you walk out like a farmer. That's the story of my life. I promised everybody, didn't I, that I was going to get to the... I really want to... You know, I get so sick. I guess some people still have psychics on. You know?
Yes, they do.
Like, people will tell me, oh, you know, I saw this psychic. I can't believe anyone has them on. They're wrong about
everything.
Well,
there was also a psychic just arrested and convicted in Florida, wasn't there?
Yeah. I mean, it's just... There are no psychic powers. If you did have psychic powers, it changes the world entirely.
Yeah.
You win a Nobel Prize. You get the $1 million from the James Randi Educational Foundation. It is so proven over and over again. But I promise people, and I know, Badnarik was, I'm not going to get
right.
to this. Badnarik was at our show last night, who was the Libertarian candidate
sure.
for president,
yeah.
which is another way of saying loser. And Badnarik, you know, Nate
said... I voted for him.
I voted for him, too. I voted
That's
for him.
You and I were the only ones, apparently.
No, everybody I know voted for him. Nate Santucci,
yes.
who's running here for some office that I don't know in
right.
Vegas... Is been going to the seminar on the Constitution.
Right.
He and Zeke, the two guys that really make the whole show work. I mean, if there were justice in the world, the show would be called Nate and Zeke instead of Penn and Teller. They do
Penn
everything.
And Teller are puppets.
We're just puppets. We're just the Milli Vanilli guys.
Sure.
That's all we are. And they do everything. And they've been going to these seminars on constitutional law with mm-hmm. Badnarik. And they were madder than wet hens last night. They couldn't believe that FDR in the New Deal took away a lot of their constitutional rights. This was news to them. And it's news to a lot of people.
They're only 50 years behind.
Yeah, and they were very, very, very upset.
Okay.
As they should be. And Bad Narek was at the show, which was pretty cool to look down there and see. We also had Harry Brown, you know, years ago came to our show. Who was another? I've had two presidential candidates that I voted for come to our show. Of course, I've never voted for one of the ones that was close to winning, and I'm very proud of that. The only way to waste your vote is to vote. And also after the show, a woman came up to me. You know, I do this thing on the show, The Psychic Comedian, which you haven't seen yet.
I have not seen it.
But I, people think of jokes, and I tell them what joke they're thinking of. And it's a heavy psychic trick. And it uses all the same jive that the people who claim to be real use. And after the show, this really nice woman, about my age, I suppose, blonde hair, came up to me and said, is what you say on the show true? I said, very little of it. And she said, no, the thing at the end, the very heartfelt part about, you know, there being no such thing as psychic stuff, and do they really use the same tricks you're using? And I said, yes, they don't really use all the same tricks I'm using. That's not 100% true. But what I say, I've been looking for someone with real psychic powers now for, you know, 40 years, and there's $1 million offered, and there's Nobel Prize winners helping, and there hasn't been the slightest glimmer of hope. And she said, well, how about Sylvia Brown? And I said, no, I don't.
How about Sylvia Brown?
How about? But I mean, this was a really nice woman with a really nice, honest asking. So I didn't do any jokes.
Sensible people do sometimes still believe this.
Sure.
Yes.
And I told her, you know, she said she kind of acted like she felt stupid. And I said, no, you never blame the victim. You never blame the victim. If someone believes in psychics, they are not stupid. The person telling them they have psychic powers is evil, bad, and a liar. The person is not, you do not blame the victim. You do not say, oh, it's okay, you got raped, you were wearing a short skirt. You don't say, you're gullible, therefore psychics can take advantage of you. That's not true. So she asked me, you know, there's nothing to this, and I said no. And I thought for a moment, why should she believe me? And she did believe me, it seemed. Why should she believe me that Sylvia Brown
doesn't
have...
You caught a bullet in your mouth, man.
that Sylvia Brown doesn't have powers. Uh-huh. And the answer is, why should she believe Sylvia Brown that she does? I'm on the side of toasters not walking. It makes more sense.
And speaking of nuts... this is in the Nevada paper today, which is also called Las Vegas.
There's a woman named Lori Albee and Heather Veach, who are these women who are passing themselves off as really, really good looking.
Right.
They have the dyed blonde hair, a lot of styling.
Sure.
But actually, when you look at the genetics underneath it, they're, you know, they're average. and they're part of
a lot of work going on.
Southern California-based JC's Girls, Girls, Girls. Mm-hmm. They minister to strippers and sex workers. Veach used to be a stripper herself in
Las Vegas.
Yeah. Now, there's parts of this article that are really funny. First of all, they talk about going to the porno convention.
Right.
And being there to convert people.
Sure.
I was there.
Yeah.
And so there's both
were they there?
For JC's Girls, Girls, Girls. And I saw them there, and they called me over and wanted to talk to me. And I said, no, I don't want to talk to you. it's just too creepy and unpleasant. But I was very happy they were there.
Right, sure. Sure. They're allowed in.
They're allowed in. And that's really important, you know. If you had a serious evangelical Christian
convention,
they would not let the Dark Brothers in. You know, they would not let the bang bus guys in. There would not be a tour for porno.
There would not be the
and
yeah.
Every time I go to an organization that I feel is a good organization, like the AVN adult convention, and they have in people that I strongly disagree with, I'm always so happy.
Sure,
I mean, I love that, and I love
that shows confidence
there.
In your position, doesn't it?
It sure does, as opposed to letting them all. And this is the great thing. Veach's approach is based on experience. In the 1990s, she worked as a stripper and acted in a handful of soft porn movies. She plays up her sex appeal, which she certainly is. The little bit that she has, she's playing
she's
up because the adult industry workers relate to that, she said. The adult industry workers relate to her, you know,
her being
so-so
sexy,
looks because they've got, like, really beautiful women who are really open and sexy and smart, but they relate to her good looks like someone believes that.
Right.
She understands the culture, which is not true. And here's the part that's so sad, man. This is heartbreaking. In a posting on a minister's on the ministry's website, which I'm not going to give. You shouldn't bother with this. Veach said she was a successful Las Vegas stripper. I love the word successful has to be in there. She was a successful Las Vegas stripper, but inwardly felt
that her lifestyle was a ticket to hell. So she has to put in she was successful at doing something. You know, it's like, if you believe it's wrong, don't talk about being successful. And she will, listen to this, the 31, this is the other one. This is Heather. Oh, this is the same one. The 31-year-old married mother of two visits one strip club a month.
All right.
Paying for lap dances so she can talk to the strippers about God. And you know they're just going, okay, baby, whatever gets you off. You talk about God, you talk about Thor, you talk about Yetwa, you talk about Buddha, you talk about your talking toaster. I'm just going to grind
for
away.
For 20 bucks.
For 20 bucks, you talk about whatever you want. And here's the part that's really, really funny. Okay, we've covered all this.
Funnier than them already going in and paying them.
It adds to that funny.
Because, I mean, really, if you took a bunch of strippers to church and said, I've already paid them, they're going to dance for you, I don't think they'd let you in.
Right, exactly. But in the strip club, it's okay. It's much
You can go the other way in the strip club. It's fair.
But you can't go there.
Okay.
But here's the great part. Now, she's dropping 20 bucks a dance to talk about God.
Uh-huh.
And the question, of course, pops to mind, where does that money come from? in about graph 7 or 8 in this Associated Press article, she has an ally in Matt Brown, her pastor at Sandals Church of Riverside, the 1,700-member Southern Baptist congregation is contributing $50,000 to her ministry this year.
$50,000 so she can go to strip clubs?
So she can get lap dances and talk about God.
We're not in Riverside, are we?
Do you think
they know?
That'd be so funny.
We gave her $50,000. She spent it on strippers. But it's okay.
If you're going to write a letter to us about this, write a letter to the Sandals Church of Riverside. You can find that on the web, I'm sure. Sandals Church of Riverside in the Southern Baptist congregation.
What is 50,000 divided by 20? Hold on. That's great. That's a lot of dances.
Yeah, it's a lot of dances. But she also spends the money. She also spends the money to go to these, to buy a booth of the porno show.
It's
several thousand dollars, and she's also spending that, which is hysterical. And I love the way women who go to Christ and who used to be involved in the sex industry always talk about how good looking they are and fluff their hair up, and they just, I mean, it's clear that she doesn't have the A1 looks that she needed to be a top. So now she's paying for it. She's buying it back. $20 a day. How many dances?
2,500 dancers. 2,500 dancers.
2,500. She goes once a month, so a year, that's about what?
12. About 12 a year. It's going to take a long time to spend it all.
No, she doesn't get one. It doesn't say she gets one dance.
Oh, that's true.
She probably gets like 50 dances that night and gets herself all hot and then goes and talks about Jesus. This stuff always turns out to be a sexual kink. Religion always turns out to be sex. You know, sex is sex, but religion always turns out to this weird. Did we cover everything today? I want to talk a little bit more about Bigfoot. I guess we'll talk about that tomorrow because I want to know if anyone in the world really believes in Bigfoot.
This guy.
We did a whole show on it.
This guy believes in Bigfoot.
He does? Who's
he
that?
Does. It's the Johor Wildlife Protection Society. It has scientific evidence to prove the existence of Bigfoot. They have apparently been hanging out with Bigfoot for 6 years.
But they have no pictures.
Well, they didn't offer any, no. Apparently Bigfoot
We did a Bulls Hit show on cryptozoology, which is Bigfoot and Loch Ness.
Sure, all this.
And we found a few nuts that believed in it. But is that widespread? I mean, Joe Rogan believes he didn't land on the moon. But I've never met someone. I think I did meet one person that believed in Bigfoot, but I forgot who it was now. I'll try to remember for tomorrow. This is Penn Jillette and Michael Goudeau. We're on Free FM talking about anything that pops into our head. We're going to, in the future, we will be testing Carrot Top for steroids, which is horrible because he's just a good-looking, great guy who works out as the best ass in show business. And because we're fat guys, we can't face the fact he might actually do it with work. We'll find all that more. Keep listening to this show every day. We'll